Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Sevenrounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. The rookie QBs bounced back in a big way this week. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the genius who knew Matt Nagy would trust his gut and go with Justin Fields. And with me, as always, is AJ. Mills Mafia is no more Marchese.
Yeah. I mean, he had to go to get Buffalo and get taught what the real Mafia is all about.
I guess he'll continue to play, but I don't think that's that there will be any talk of him. Really.
No, more on him later.
Today we're breaking down the NFL rookies who made the most and the least of their Week 4 opportunities in the NFL. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft. Gonna set my draft on fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady. Driving out to Vegas, baby. Looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
I've officially launched my first baseball-related Spotify Green Room that focuses on the different bats baseball players use. We're going to talk wood bats, metal bats, different types of wood that go into the bat. Like, have you ever seen a willow tree bat?
No, but that sounds sick.
Yeah. Or the Simpsons episode where Homer's gets his special bat. We'll break that episode down too. It's all bats all the time because Spotify Green Room is a live audio only sports talk platform that's free to download and to use. Talk to me about bats, other fans about bats, athletes about which bats they prefer, and insiders about who's corking their bat. Perfect for watch parties, debates about how much pine tar should go on a bat, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news like whose bat was overcorked. I don't even know what the rules on corking a bat are. We're going to find out in this Spotify Green Room, my host. Share your own experiences about your bat on the app. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the group. All you need to do is download Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS App Store, and then you can start talking bats and come with your spiciest bat takes. All right, rookie quarterback rundown. We're in it now. We're 4 weeks in. Four weeks?
Yep.
Okay, good. I was checking with you to make sure you knew.
Keeping me on my toes. I respect it. We're going into week five now.
Yes. Okay. Good. Week one, all the rookie quarterbacks scored touchdowns. Week two and week three, they were pretty much all bad. Week four, we had some good performances. And we even saw all of them get substantial playing time. All of them as in the five first round rookies plus Davis Mills. When the rookie quarterbacks play well, football's more entertaining. I'll say it, AJ. I like when quarterbacks are good.
It's a hot take, Rob, but I can't disagree. Especially it's nice that we got to see Trevor Lawrence on Thursday Night Football. Apparently one of the most watched Thursday Night Football games in the last 3 years too, which a Bengals Jaguars matchup, surprising.
Last second field goal, battle between former first overall picks, Urban Meyer threw away his career after the game. What don't you like about that?
High drama. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, removing Urban Meyer and that whole coaching staff and everything going on there, actually adding that into the equation, it's even more impressive that Trevor Lawrence came out and had the performance he did against the Bengals. On paper, not mind-boggling. Threw for 204, ran for 36 yards, had a rushing touchdown. Completed almost 71% of his throws, but made a couple just jaw-dropping throws. I think the one that stood out the most to me would be that Jamal Agnew one on the sideline.
Wide receiver one, Jamal Agnew, yeah.
Yeah, Jamal Agnew, the best playmaker on that team. I was thinking, too. They wanted to draft Kadarius Toney. They wanted to use Travis Etienne in that role. They're neglecting to try LaVisca Chenault as like more of a fun weapon.
Yeah.
Why not get Jamal Agnew more touches then? He's your most explosive playmaker.
Well, they're doing it a little bit now. It is different.
They are.
But only after Chark got hurt and stuff, too.
That Jamal Agnew throw, where he was kind of rolling to the right a little bit and came back across and just dot on the sideline. That was unbelievable. He also had that the deep throw. It was like 40-plus yards downfield to LaVisca Chenault earlier in the game. It was play action. He was rolling to his right, and it almost looked like he was going to run.
Yeah.
And then he just, as he used to do all the time at Clemson, he makes an impossible throw look simple for him because he got a rocket launcher of an arm, and he just is so mechanically clean. And he launches one downfield to Shaw, who's got single coverage. He made a great adjustment on that ball. But those are two of the best rookie quarterback throws. I mean, Justin Herbert was doing insane things last year, so that kind of, I think, increases expectations among rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But like those two throws were just wicked, and two of the best I think we've seen in the last handful of years from rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think they're two of the best we've seen from this group. I didn't get to see Justin Fields this week. You'll talk on him later, but on Twitter I saw some great throws from him too. So those two on the rainy week four across the country. They were impressive.
Yeah, and it sucks that they lost the game. Obviously, Joe Burrow and the Bengals kind of put it together in the second half because the Jags dominated that first half. But Lawrence, yeah, I don't know. You saw everything that you hoped you would see from him. And again, with a dysfunctional staff around him too, I think more than anything, this performance, when paired with what the mess Urban Meyer's causing, they need to get rid of Urban Meyer ASAP.
Agreed.
And get, like, you can't ruin this type of talent.
And they can get any coach they want on the market, really.
Like, bring Joe Brady down to Jacksonville.
I think that'd be pretty great. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think they got the pick of Brian Daboll up there, too. I think they got the pick of the litter, to be honest. Eric Bieniemy.
But
Yeah.
We thought they did last year, and they chose Urban Meyer, so who knows?
Well, that was their pick. Okay, when Lawrence was at Clemson, you knew they were desperate for the win when they ran him. And there wasn't too much like designed running for Trevor Lawrence in this game, but they were desperate because he was running the ball. 8 carries, 36 yards in the touchdown, but he was running the ball super effectively. It was on the one touchdown drive, three third down, first down runs with his legs. And he was looking really good running the ball. And then he finished it off with the sick move on Sam Hubbard for the touchdown, which is pretty sweet. They just hit him with a little stick juke and got in. I thought that was really impressive. So I think Urban, now we know he's a desperate man. I think we're going to see more and more designed runs for Trevor Lawrence. Or maybe not as much design, but running him, yeah.
Is that a good thing, though?
No, not really. But I think it's a cool thing. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think personally, I wish they as just, long as he's not taking the hits. I think it's okay. Yeah.
Trevor looked so good on the play action throws in this game.
Yeah.
That I hope they just do that more and attack downfield a little bit more. They've got I know DJ Chark got hurt in this game, but LaVisca Chenault, they've got Marvin Jones. We know Jamal Agnew has that wicked explosiveness.
Yeah.
Like, I just hope that we see a more consistent play action deep game from them. Because when he's like in this game, you see what he can do with that. On the bright side, they do play the Titans next, who didn't play so well against what we thought was the worst rookie quarterback.
But now we know he should have been the first overall pick.
Yeah, so Zach Wilson in this game. I did this game. The Jets obviously won in overtime, 27-24. Poor fat Randy missed the kick for the Titans. Meanwhile, rookie Evan McPherson made his kick for the Bengals. But for the first half and into the deep into the third quarter, it looked like a pretty nothing game from Zach Wilson. His early interception, Corey Davis actually slipped on the route, so it's hard. Like, if you watch it in real time, it looks like just a disastrous classic Zach Wilson, what the heck are you doing type throw. But Corey Davis slipped on the route, so it's hard to really kill Zach Wilson for that one. But he came alive in the end of the third quarter, and that's when the Jets, this game was 9-7 for most of the game. And then Zach Wilson turned it on. And so because you flexed on me last week with your way better breakdown of Trevor Lawrence than any of my quarterback breakdowns, I took detailed notes.
Good work, buddy.
So starting at the you've motivated me to be better.
I'm proud of
iron
that.
Sharpens iron. starting at the end of the third quarter, he hit Keelan Cole deep on it. Was a like a pretty sweet scramble drill, and he hit Keelan Cole out of structure on a deep ball, and that led to a field goal. And then I don't know if after that just gave him the confidence he needed, because mm-hmm. he started playing like BYU Zach Wilson with kind of that I don't give a fuck energy, but not in a way that's leading to four interceptions. Because later he had a play action where he broke a tackle and hit and went deep to Corey Davis on a deep ball. And it was one-on-one, and it wasn't a great throw, but it drew PI. And the very next play, I think it was the very next play, he dropped the snap, picked it up, ripped a deep ball to Jamison Crowder on the left sideline. And then I think right after that, it was they called a rollout for him, and he ripped with Jamison Crowder on the right, basically on the right pylon, he ripped a tight window throw to Crowder for a touchdown. And then they were really rolling there. And then to get it to OT, he had a play action where he rolled right and he hit Corey Davis on a perfect deep ball. Davis had two DBs on him, and I don't know how he fit it between them, but by the way, Corey Davis played phenomenal. But he ripped this huge deep ball to Corey Davis for a touchdown, got 24. They go to overtime in OT, trips left, the middle wide receiver, it was Keelan Cole, ran a post, and he had a fucking bucket drop on the sideline for it had to be just over 30 yards, which essentially led them to the field goal, and which put the game away. But he throwing out the first two and three quarters of a quarter, he was awesome after that. And he wasn't even playing poorly prior to that, really. It was just like a lot of nothing. It was that was really happening. Like, he wasn't attempting any crazy throws or playing with that kind of swagger people came to know him for at BYU. But then all of a sudden he turned it on. I think it had to do with that Keelan Cole deep ball, because after that he just played so confident.
I think I mentioned last week that I felt like he wasn't playing confidently and he lost it. And it kind of the early turnovers, week one and stuff, just kind of made him rein it back. But when he doesn't have that confidence, he's not the same dude. And I also said last week, I think Jamison Crowder matters. It just, from what we saw in the preseason, it felt like Crowder was going to be a big, a big security blanket for Zach Wilson. So I think having him back too helps. I feel like this was a huge, huge win for the Jets. And they needed this bad, bad. And I don't mean just for being competitive-ish this season. I mean for the whole just, reassuring Robert Saleh's plan, reassuring that Zach Wilson is worthy of the second overall pick. I feel like it was a huge win for them.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jamison Crowder, and Elijah Moore really hasn't lived up to mm-hmm. that preseason hype at all. and he wasn't playing in this game, and both Keelan Cole and Jamison Crowder played really well. And like I said, Corey Davis was unbelievable in this game. Also, the Titans' defense is horrific.
Yeah, I can't believe the Seahawks lost to the Titans.
Specifically the secondary. Like, Harold Landry didn't play a poor game, and Rashawn Evans looked pretty good. But secondary's bad. The secondary just has nothing going for it, and both Molden and Caleb Farley, speaking of rookies, were not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So. But hey, you speaking of the Seahawks.
Speaking of bad secondaries.
I see Trey Lance because Jimmy G got hurt.
Yeah, we got Trey Lance in the game. I'll read his numbers first. 9 for 18, .157, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 41 yards and 7 carries. I don't think he was as good as the numbers indicate, mainly because most of them came on that Debo wide open 70 some odd yard touchdown that was just blown coverage. By the way, everyone on Twitter wanted to blame Jamal Adams because Twitter hates Jamal Adams for some reason. But Pete came out and said it was Sidney Jones' fault who got his first start as a Seahawk. Easy yard, easy touchdown. Throw got there, but it was wide open. So a lot of it came there. I felt like when he came in the game, look, I was talking to you. I was scared he was going to change this game and like this is going to be, you know, some magical moment for Trey Lance. I thought it was kind of the opposite. I thought the momentum they had, because they were rolling in the first half. The Seahawks should not have been in that game. Kind of got lucky that they were. I felt like they kind of stalled. I thought Lance was kind of rocky. It started like, it was getting balls batted. Like his first throw, he threw it, Kittle was wide open in the flat, threw it behind him and low. It was kind of ugly. And then they kind of like moved him around a little bit. He made a nice play over 4th and 1. He just cut back and found Debo for the first. And then like it was just a couple quick hitters to use check. Then I saw like a lot of like miscommunications at the line of scrimmage. And there was a couple just pre-snap penalties. I felt like that was kind of on Trey Lance. Holding onto the ball too long. Taking some sacks. Also just bailing when the pocket was clean. So I felt like it was, you know, again, it's a tough spot for him coming in. To start the second half, but it's different when he's got a full week to start. But anyways, no, I don't think it was that great. But no, he threw a really nice pass to George Kittle that should have been a touchdown. Jamal Adams separated him the ball, but like I don't know, like I think if he threw it a little bit earlier, it would have been a sure touchdown. It was a little behind him, and the spiral was a little gross. But put it all together, it was really promising. And the second touchdown was just a quick hitter to Debo Samuel, who had a great game.
My question for you, how much did they involve him with designed runs, or maybe not even designed runs for him, but utilized his ability to take away a defender as a runner on run plays to other guys?
So it felt like when he first got in the game, it was zone read. And immediately Trey Sermon, who I'm not going to mention in the show, was okay. But wide open, just chunks. Seattle was immediately kind of just respecting the keeper on the read. And it was big chunks. But when they started to have to get, like, Seattle kind of adjusted to it and just started crashing down on Sermon. He his runs were more scrambly, not too much design. Like I said, 41 yards on 7 carries. Wasn't really a lot of design stuff, though. It was just him leaving pockets or getting pressured and kind of having to do something. And it didn't feel like significant runs either. Like, he didn't really... none of those runs were really special, in my opinion, or anything like that. So you felt it at first, like the threat of him keeping the ball. But when they started getting, you know, 3rd and mediums and 3rd and longs, and he had to throw it, it wasn't great. Again, I just don't think he's seeing it all well right now, and that's because he got thrown into a game that he wasn't expecting to get thrown into. Like, so it's hard to blame him. I think you saw the talent, you saw him, the arm strength. But yeah, I know you saw him like making a little bit of magic happening, avoiding sacks too. But
I guess part of that too is like you mentioned, it might be different if he obviously would be different if he had a full week to prepare, and I think that would impact the game plan as well, right? Like,
and it's almost a little worse now because we thought we were gonna get Jimmy G. Sounds bad, but Jimmy Garoppolo said he'd be out for a couple weeks, and apparently he might play this week. So even that kind of like. I feel like it would have been better, but like, okay, if Shanny went to Jimmy and said, you know, we're just going to hold you out. And he might have done this, you know, in the room. We just don't know yet. If he just went to Jimmy, okay, you're going to sit out this week. Your calf's bugging you still. We're going to give Lance, you know, Monday, the whole week, to prep to start this game this week, and that's it. And see, we'll see what he's got with a full week of preparation under his belt. Because I do think that matters, especially when you get tossed into like this kind of weird game where you're moving the ball really well, but you're not scoring. Like, it was kind of just a strange situation for the Niners.
Speaking of having time to prepare, well, Justin Fields is going to have the whole season to do that because Matt Nagy finally named him the starter after his performance against the Lions in Week 4. So the previous week I talked about how they're just the game plan and the offensive line didn't really give Justin Fields any chance. Not to say he played well, yeah. But you almost had to throw that out just because the offensive line was so bad. Well, luckily for Fields and the Bears, the Lions defense, I don't know if they have a guy who could start on any other team in the NFL. Because Romeo Okwara got hurt, and he's their best defensive player. And then after that, it was like the fact that they couldn't get, like, that he got sacked 9 times against the Browns. He got sacked once against the Lions, and for the most part was kept clean throughout the game. Like, that says a lot about, to me, it says a lot about the Lions' pass rush.
Not to spoil anything later, but did you see anything from McNeil or Onwuzurike this game?
No.
Yeah, they haven't shown anything. They haven't been getting on the field too much. No. But when they are, I haven't really seen much of anything from either.
McNeil's playing more than Onwuzurike, but mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so Fields finished with, on paper, not going to blow you away, 209, a pick, 3 carries, 9 yards. The thing is, they still are not incorporating his legs whatsoever. Most of those yards came on him scramble, like on one scramble he had. But so I would like to see them use that a little bit more. But they did get the play action pass going way more frequently in this game, and he looked fantastic on those. The interception was a tip. He was trying to hit Allen Robinson on a quick ball, and it got tipped by a blitzing linebacker, and a corner made a diving pick, which was pretty impressive. He tried to put it over the linebacker. Whatever. I wasn't too concerned about that. The thing that was really impressive to me was how many deep shots he took, especially when you consider how few Andy Dalton would have taken. So I wrote these down. The first one was a play-action crosser to Darnell Mooney, where it was about 25 yards through the air. 25 positive yards, not from behind the line of scrimmage, would have been like 35. All my throw numbers are by positive yard gain. Does that make sense?
Is air yards based on positive, or like, I actually don't know, or from where the ball's actually thrown?
I don't know. That's why I wrote this and explained it the way I did.
I think it makes more sense to do it the way you do it from what we're doing here. Anyways, I understand. Okay, yeah.
So he hit Mooney on a play action. It was just a straight play action crosser. Mooney, great. Then a different drive, that led to a score. On a different drive, he, from the 11, straight drop, play action drop, 40-plus air yards to Mooney, was a perfect throw. Later, a play action, straight drop again. They weren't moving him again. They were not moved. Like, it didn't matter because the Lions pass rush sucked so much, but yeah. You think they'd want to move the pocket given how bad their offensive line is and how athletic Fields is, but it was mainly just straight play action drops without rollouts. So play action, straight drop, 20 air yard throw to Allen Robinson over the middle. It was a wicked laser. Later, this one was his only non-play action deep ball. Split gun. He was from the left hash. He saw Mooney on the right sideline with a one-on-one, and he dropped it in the fucking bucket, and that was about 30 air yards. And then later, this might have been his most impressive throw. It was a play-action, again, straight drop back, crosser. Allen Robinson lined up on the left sideline. Crosser hit him perfectly on the right sideline with 2 DBs on him. That was about 27 air yards. So I think what that was, I think 520 plus air yard throws that were wonderful. He looked so good on the deep ball, and specifically again the play action. I'd still like to see them incorporate his legs on design runs, or at least take advantage of your own run game by threatening him as a runner. You don't necessarily have to, if you're worried about him taking hits, just that I think that would help a lot because it would take a defender out of the play. They don't seem to care to do that. They also still don't seem to want to move the pocket and take advantage of his athleticism as a thrower. But he did look awesome on the play action straight drops. I like that they at least incorporated that this week. One thing at a time. Apparently Matt Nagy wasn't even calling plays either. It was Bill Lazor. But this was such a promising game. And it made the Bears so much more exciting to see how many deep balls he was throwing.
Maybe we see the more creative running now with David Montgomery being down for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, Mac Jones, who lost to the Bucs, threw for two. On paper, he had a good week. I don't think he had a good game, though. I also think it doesn't. He's been like the most consistent of the rookie quarterbacks. So his even below average games being better than the other guys has kind of made you have a positive spin on Mac Jones, I think. But when the other guys are making way more exciting plays and being big time deep ball threats, it kind of makes you fall back to earth with how you feel about Mac Jones. And I mean, on paper, 275, two scores, a pick, completed 77.5% of his throws, lost by on a 56-yard missed field goal, doink. But, yeah, I don't know. It was like Mac Jones does not push the ball down the field.
Nope.
It was a lot of layup throws. It was a lot of, like, hold-your-hand type play calling is kind of what I felt. And the fact that I think that they didn't go for it on fourth and three and would rather opt to have Nick Folk kick a 56-yarder in the rain while he's banged up says a lot.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. And now I don't know if I want to shit on his performance like you did. Not like you really did. But yeah, you look at the yards per attempt with 40 attempts for 275 yards. I'm no mathematician, but that's not good. And I, like, you know, Collinsworth was gushing over him, and he had, what, 18
straight completions or something? He had 18, I think. That's why I'm kind of ticked off is, like, the broadcast was painting it like he was unbelievable. It was okay. I don't know. And it makes me want to go back harder the other way and just say, especially when you're seeing some of the throws Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields made this week, it's, I don't know.
No, but I totally agree about the point of not going for it there. I think everyone in the whole world thought that was a iffy decision to kick. And maybe we were proven, I don't know, wrong by the upright, but not really. But I do think it says a lot about Belichick's confidence in Mac Jones, because I don't know, he was completing a lot of passes and those passes went for 2 yards very frequently, so I don't know why they didn't go for it, other than Belichick didn't have complete faith in him. And the interception, it wasn't a bad interception really. Devin White just absolutely fucking demolished him. He kind of forced it in and it got deflected and got picked, but like the throw itself wasn't that bad. Like if he wasn't getting demolished, he probably would have stuck it in there. But yeah, I think like when we boil it down to, you know, his poise is impressive. Getting the ball out of his hand in time is impressive. But like you said, it's a lot of like the game design was really good from the Pats. And like it felt like if they could have ran the ball, they would have had a good chance to win that game, because the Bucs shut. I think they had -1 yards total rushing or something like that. But yeah, like if you look at his throws in a vacuum, they're not impressive. And I really want to see, like I said, you know, the first 2 weeks it was all under 10 yards, and then week three he kind of hit that, you know, 10 to 15 yardage, and I thought it was really, you know, good looking and a good stat for him. But then the deep stuff is all missing, and it was just more of the same this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels very like, when you see these other quarterbacks making, even if they're not playing super consistently, they're at least showing off they have the talent to be big-time deep ball throwers, big-time playmakers. And then Mac Jones just feels very, I hate to say game managery, but like the Patriots just don't seem to. Now, their offense in general isn't overly exciting or explosive, but I don't know.
Please, let's get some Ramondre Stevenson, by the way.
Yes. But I think the main issue is, let's talk realistically about him. Just because like he's completing 77% of his throws doesn't mean he's good.
Yeah.
Like Collinsworth needs to wake up on that. That was some I don't know. He was saying some crazy stuff. Anyway, Davis Mills, talk about him.
Yeah, it was pouring rain in Buffalo, just like it was in New England. The Northeast, am I right? Immediately, first snap of the game. First drive, first third down of the game. The ball just slips right out of Davis Mills' hands as he's going to wind up. And it's like, here we go. Here we go, Davis. He got back on top of the ball. But, yeah, it did not get better from there. Actually, right away, Josh Allen threw a pick. They got the ball immediately in the red zone. Went for it on fourth down. He rolled out, and the ball got batted. It could, really an easy throw. Just batted down. Probably should have put it over the guy. By the way, just to put all this in perspective, here's the stats from the game, Rom. 11 for 21, 87 yards, 0 touchdowns, 4 picks, baby. But like, he didn't start good. But like, the game didn't start bad for the Texans because, I mean, they lost 40-0. But they actually got the ball past midfield on 2 of the first 3 possessions. And like I said, they were in the red zone for that one. Actually, the first red zone possession this year they didn't score on. Yeah, the third possession got into plus territory again, and it just ended with Davis Mills throwing it right to Tremaine Edmonds, right in the middle of the field. So it was just so bad. It was just so bad, and I took some bad sacks, just panicked in a clean pocket and faded away, and Boogie Basham got him, and just holding onto the ball too long, which I feel like is pretty typical for a lot of these quarterbacks. 3 sacks total. Let's just roll through these interceptions. Second interception, Klein. Just deflected it right around the line of scrimmage.
I'll pay you $1 million not to walk me through every Davis Mills throw.
It's very, very no. It's just the interception. That's all I'm doing because there wasn't anything. Popped in the air, picked. Interception 3. Tried to go deep. I don't know what he's doing. Double covered, picked. Interception 4. Went right off Pharaoh Brown's hands. It was a little bit of a miscommunication. He threw it behind Brown when he was trying to break out. Off his hands, picked. I don't think he had any impressive throws at all. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Was Davis Mills even the best quarterback at Stanford last year? Look what Tanner McKee did against Oregon. That's all I'll say. That's my only Davis Mills take.
Spoiler alert, I put him for worst rookie as well because I don't think it was fair to put it anyone else.
Show's there. Going long anyway, so let's bang out more. The show becomes a lot longer because of so many fucking quarterbacks are playing.
Oh my god.
What a world.
Let's do it. Let's move on. That's it.
Okay, rookie of the week. Offensive rookie of the week. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with 2 guys to extend the show. But it's a good connection. NFC East first round wide receivers because baby Kadarius Toney came out. 6 catches, 78 yards. They finally fucking got him involved. He looked electric in my opinion. He showed off that video game change of direction ability. His first catch was a 3rd and 18. They just dumped it off to him on a screen. He made a few dudes miss, looking like that smooth but jittery explosiveness that he showed at Florida. Picked up the first on 3rd and 18. Took a slant early in the 4th, just a sweet release. Caught it, made a guy miss. That's a theme every time he touched the ball, pretty much. Got to the sticks, got hit, kept his feet, kept going. Another juke. It was sweet. Then, the next play, they set him up on a reverse to throw the ball. Didn't end up actually throwing it, but that would have been so cool. Just held on to the ball, go back to the line of scrimmage. He had a kind of a shitty drop in the late 4th where it's like an easy slant, a lot of space that he really should have held on to. But other than that, they got him involved and showing that they could let him throw and stuff. Just hit him on screens. It felt like what they should have been doing since week 1. But hey, mm-hmm. They're doing it now, and he looks fun as shit. Quickly, Devontae Smith, great game. 7 catches, 122 yards. Less exciting because I just think he's really good. And when teams just start shutting Devontae Smith down or attempting to, I think these Eagles offense can be in trouble because he's the best player on that offense. And it was right off the bat, just hit him with a screen, first drive, got some really good yards. Had a fucking sick, leaping, toe-tapping sideline catch before the half. It was amazing. Had a touchdown called back for illegal touching that he went out on, came back in. But I think it should have been a force out and stood, in my opinion. Really great game. And it's really fun to see these two guys in the NFC East producing this week. Big.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't get to watch them, if I'm going to be honest with you, because I saw the numbers both them put up. And I didn't have a ton of non-quarterbacks making – too many plays this week. So I went with Old Faithful, Rashawn Slater. especially because it continues our streak. One of us has had him for Offensive Rookie of the Week every week, 4 weeks in. He was once again unbelievable against the Raiders. Max Crosby couldn't do anything against him. Max Crosby barely saw him because it was just going to be game over. He helped plow that offense to 168 yards on the ground. Austin Eckler was electric.
Pun intended.
The Raiders only came with two sacks, both from the interior. Slater still has not given up a sack since 2018. we've seen how Justin Herbert's pretty much, to me, he's a top five quarterback right now. And you're seeing behind a consistent offensive line, which he didn't have last year, how much more this team can do and how good he can be. That starts with Rashawn Slater and Corey Linsley. They're two new additions who at center and left tackle who have done wonders for Justin Herbert in this offense. And Slater is every bit of what you needed him to be. And I still can't believe he fell out of the top 10.
Yeah. So say if everything trends the same way it's going, where the quarterbacks are up and down, more down than up, and no one else is really special, and the Chargers make the playoffs, I think he's rookie of the year. But that's a lot of caveats.
Yeah.
But I think he should be. Yeah.
No, without a doubt. If it's not a quarterback, because, we're just going to probably it'll be a quarterback. But if it's not one, no one else deserves, especially because he's playing the second most important position in football.
Yeah, who is it realistically? I guess Devontae Smith and Jamar Chase?
Yeah, I would say Jamar Chase probably. He's been a little more consistent than Devontae Smith.
Yeah. Okay, defensive. I'm going to go a little outside the box here because this guy, I really just wanted to give him some credit because he, listen to this. He played seven snaps. Seven snaps for the Denver Broncos. It's Caden Stearns. But in those seven snaps, he had two sacks, another touch tackle, and a PBU in seven snaps. what the fuck?
What?
Look, I checked multiple sources. It said seven snaps. I saw it before the game. To me, it felt like he played more, but I'm really trying to key in on him. And if it was more than seven, it wasn't much more. But I don't know how that seemed ridiculous. But anyways, go look at any... I checked multiple places. It said seven snaps. I don't know. Anyway, so regardless, great game. Even if you played 50 snaps, really good game. Started third down right before the half. They basically line him up at linebacker, blitz him through the B gap. He split the tackle's block attempt and brought down Lamar as he tried to step up. Perfectly timed. Great tackle. Great play. Then he made a really great play on a scramble throw. Lamar just threw it up. And it was weird. Surtain was backside, and there's two receivers there. And Surtain kind of went down with the receiver, and Sammy Watkins just kind of wide open, landed right in his hands. Stern just showed up kind of out of nowhere, blew up Sammy Watkins, separated him from the ball. Great play. Second sack, lined up kind of over the slot this time, a little bit more outside. Blitz just got home clean, untouched. If it was really seven snaps, it was fucking ridiculous, but.
Yeah, no, I literally, while you were talking, I was like, yeah, AJ can't be right. I don't trust anything AJ says. Nope, you're right.
Seven snaps. They might be wrong, but I was really trying to eyeball it because I saw it before and I saw his stats. And I was trying to eyeball it.
PFR is really good at keeping track of snaps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they got him a seven defensive, 12 special teams, so I believe it.
Ridiculous, right?
But that's funny because I talked about him last week because he had that easy interception, but it was just cool to see him as a third safety. Now you're seeing him do it's just not fair if they've stumbled onto him on day three as a bit of a third safety weapon on a secondary that's already loaded and already has a defensive rookie of the year candidate in Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't have Surtain anywhere, but solid day. He's a little softer in coverage. On the Murray touchdown, he's Hollywood kind of had him blocked in the end zone, didn't work off it. But in coverage, just watching him snap to snap, I thought he was pretty lock solid, and he only gave up two catches, and they're kind of underneath.
Okay, a guy who I thought played more snaps, but should at least, only played 52% of the snaps, but his season high And my repeat defensive rookie of the week, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Last week I talked about what he did more specifically in coverage against the Bears. Against the Vikings, who like to run the ball, obviously, and Dalvin Cook was banged up throughout the game. And I think that's part of why they at times were taking him out on rundowns, because they like to play Malcolm Smith too much. I don't know. But he looked phenomenal against the run. So 52% of the snaps, made 7 tackles, but it was what he was doing in run fits, like, which you would think would be one of the concerns with a smaller linebacker, a 220-pound linebacker, but his ability to take on and shed and make plays was impressive, and he was beating blockers to their spots to get run stuffs. And again, like, nothing jumps off the box score, but just watch what he's doing. Watch the way he moves and the way he is immediately filling against run. It's seeing him play a true linebacker position is really fun, because we saw him play this hybrid role at Notre Dame, and he still does multiple things on this Browns defense, but he's also just their best true off-ball linebacker. So you're seeing him play more and more just a kind of a true will role, and he's been incredible. I think 4 weeks in, I think he's the defensive rookie of the week, or defensive rookie of the year, and I think Rashawn Slater's the offensive rookie of the year.
Definitely.
I just hope he plays more snaps, because he's played 52, like I said, 52% was his season high, and 51% last week. But yeah, he's more than just a role player at this point. Like, he's got to be, for a team that's competing for the division, he should be playing 70% of the snaps.
Yeah, it feels like they're easing him in a little bit, because of the first 2 weeks, I think he was in the 20s or 30% snaps. He's turning into a star. I totally agree.
Worst rookie.
Davis Mills was mine, because I couldn't do it to anyone else, because he was terrible.
Okay. I couldn't decide, so I just wrote down 4 different offensive line.
Oh, my God. You're so mean. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Alex Leatherwood, who, I mean, this dude, I'm pretty sure he leads the league in penalties, because he did last week, and he got 2 more. So 2 false starts against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Looked horrible. But I think he looked better this week than last week.
I think he settled in a little bit in the second half, right? Like, he wasn't brutal. Yeah,
like, he didn't play well, but it wasn't as bad as he's been. Yeah. Liam Eichenberg just got bullied by Tyquan Lewis. Like, that's not great that it's Tyquan Lewis doing it. Liam Eichenberg was on skates for most of the game.
He also looked horrible.
Yeah, no, he looked horrible moving in space too, and trying to work to the second level as a run blocker. Mm-hmm. Like, their offense stood no chance with him and Austin Jackson at left and right tackle. Dan Moore he only took 1 penalty. He got caught on a hold against the Packers. But he just did not look great in the run game. But neither did Kendrick Green, who I also put down. All 4 of them have been bad for the most part every week. You can cut Dan Moore some slack, because he was a day 3 pick, and he's starting at left tackle and maybe the worst offensive line in the league. Liam Eichenberg, 2nd-round pick, who
was supposed to be plug and play.
And he has not been whatsoever. Kendrick Green, position change, but the hype was so big. Part of that was the Steelers center history. And then Leatherwood was just, I mean, the overdraft, and it's looked bad. So
at least he settled into the second half, Rob. Got to give him some credit.
Yeah. Lots of bad rookie O-line play this week was one of my takes.
I got some good ones.
Sean Slater, which makes you appreciate it more.
Yeah, that too.
Okay. Primetime star? I had to pick Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. You mean Mac Jones, the real QB1. I think you could pick Lawrence. Did you put an alternate, I should say?
If I would, I mean, you could say I thought Ja'Marr Chase played really well again.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of good ones.
I think Asante Samuel Jr. played really well. I thought Christian Barmore played quite well.
Flashy. PFF didn't like his performance, by the way, which surprised me, because I thought he was really flashy.
Really? Collinsworth owns PFF and was talking him up the whole game.
Yeah. Here, I'll shout out one more. Joe Tryon. I had the sack on the first drive.
Where I put him for something else, so that's why I didn't put him there.
Okay. Okay, we'll save it then.
But yeah, we can talk about him now. I put him for looks like a miss because I mean I didn't like him that like I think I had late day two. He went in the first round. Obviously, mm-hmm. he was an opt out guy. Came with two sacks, four quarterback hits. He's playing a ton because JPP's yeah. hurt. You mentioned on our other show yesterday that Vita Vea helping him get sacks, but like he's just looking so explosive, and it's just yes. It's been a perfect landing spot for him for his length and his athleticism. He's gonna tee off on quarterbacks playing next to Vita Vea.
Yeah, the first one was all him though. He just worked. Isaiah went yeah. on an inside move, got the sack, and like the second one, he sniffed Jones again on the next play. And then yeah, the second one where Vita Vea just killed the whole left side of the offensive line, and he just teed off of Mac Jones like a fucking T-ball game.
It's funny, we've seen a lot of good pass rush from this rookie group 4 weeks in. Like we haven't talked a ton about Azeez Ojulari, but I mean he leads all rookies in sacks. Micah Parsons playing edge, he's been great. Yeah. Gregory Russo, Odafe Owe, Joe Treon, Shoyinka. I mean Osa, we were talking about him last week. I talked about Peyton Turner a couple weeks ago. I've got another guy I'm going to talk about in a bit, but yeah, lots of good pass rushers. Underwhelming performance.
It might be low hanging fruit at this point, but I went back to Kyle Pitts. I went back to Kyle Pitts, who had 4 catches, 50 yards, so like not his worst game. But yeah, I just wanted to. I don't know. I feel like he's the guy to talk about. I'll start at the top here. Early on, they lined him up out wide, hit him on an in, easy money. That looked good. I'm like, why aren't they doing more of that? Same drive. Matt Ryan found him on the sideline. Easy stuff. Not anything special, but a good out route. Just hit him, got toe tap, out of bounds. Then end of the drive, they targeted him on the third down play into the end zone. The ball was too high, not really on Pitts. So they're kind of like in the first half, they're doing pretty good usage of him. Like they flashed him on jet sweeps a couple times, and I felt like when they did that, they had success on the play. Like they didn't give the ball to him, but like the first time they did was like a Gallman handoff, and it went for like 8-10 yards or something. And then, like, I felt like it kind of changed a little bit where, like, he had a tough drop. Torrey McTyre flamed a lot for them for Washington. He just ripped it out of his hands. Pitts should have had it. Same drive right after that. They got him, like an 8-yard catch. They reviewed it, though. He just never got his second foot inbounds on the sideline, and there was plenty of room. I'm like, what the hell? What are you doing, Pitts? And it's not like, oh, a college mistake. I only had to get one. No, just like he just didn't get a second foot in. I thought that was bad. Then he had like a nice chain mover catch on the slant. Then his last catch was just like a quick hit, hitch. I don't know. Like the stats looked okay, but they're using him a little bit better. But I don't know. That one non-toe drag just left a bad taste in my mouth. And it almost feels like this is what I got the sense of at times. It feels like they're using him as a distraction. But, like, he hasn't done anything yet to warrant that. Like, just use him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of annoying.
I'll go with another top 10 pick who had a pretty good start to the season, but Penei Sewell really struggled against the Bears. I mean, the whole Lions roster did. But he gave up a strip sack to Robert Quinn and... He just looked sloppy throughout the game. Like he just looked slow. There was one play where they had second and goal. They're running it from the 5, and Quinn just like Sewell like didn't move. Like I can't even explain. Like you'd have to watch the play. He got out of his stance and just like Robert Quinn just ran around him and chased the play down backside and got a stop at the line of scrimmage. And like Sewell just didn't move. He like pivoted almost. But didn't physically move his feet. It was really weird. He also got beat by Trevin Gibson for a sack.
The guy.
Travis Gibson. Who, it was just like an arm over move inside swim. It was so weird. And then, yeah, I mentioned the Quinn. It was just, he was slow. He did not reach his landmark. Quinn just dipped and ripped under him. So he gave up 2 sacks, 1 strip sack, had a like I mentioned, the weird play at the on the second and goal from the five where he just like didn't really move his feet. He just looked sloppy throughout the game. He looked slow, and just wasn't really getting much drive in the run game. I don't know. It was because he was supposed to be, for me in this game, like when the Bears had the ball, I was excited because I was getting to watch Justin Fields. And when the Lions had the ball, the only thing I cared about was watching Penei Sewell, yeah. Really. And it was just not good at all.
Did they get Amon Ra the ball at all this week?
Yeah, I'll talk about him in a bit.
Okay, cool.
Looks like a hit. Who you got?
I had to choose friend of the show, true friend of the show, Quinn Meinerz, who honestly...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got his first start. I thought he just looked like a vet. I thought he looked like the vet. Like, he did have one false start where, like, he just slightly flinched on a hard count. No big deal. He shouldn't even throw the flag. I've seen less false starts get flagged. Anyways, yeah, I just thought he was just really good. Like, really good awareness, working double teams well, picking up stunts, picking up blitzes. He was getting,
did he send
like,
you $100 to do this?
Sorry?
Did he Venmo you $100 to say this?
I Venmoed him $100 to say this. was getting good drive in the run. He had a pancake, the signature Miners pancake. Had a nice like strike where a guy just was blitzing and he just knocked him 5 yards into the sideline. I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked really, really good. I thought he was the best offensive lineman on the team. Him and Lloyd Cushenberry, actually, good duo there. Really impressed with Miners' first start.
Love it. I'll go with Jalen Phillips, who we haven't really mentioned much.
Mm-hmm.
He was unblockable. The Colts offensive line's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
Which is a bit of a shocker, but it's banged up. Quentin Nelson's hurt. But he was just in the backfield on every play. Eric Fisher sucks.
Yeah, he does.
Is that shocking? I don't know. Maybe that's not shocking. But he was, and it was weird. He wasn't even incorporating much hand use. It was a ton of speed to power and just straight bull rushing. And he the way that Liam Eikenberg was on skates on that side of the ball, Jalen Phillips put an Eric Fisher on skates this side of the ball. I think he had, he was part of a sack. He had a couple quarterback hits, a couple pressures. I think he had like three or four pressures. He also had what would have been probably at least half a sack, but he got called on a face mask. So had that not happened, he would have, I don't know, had five or so pressures and or sacks or quarterback hits. And he did that in only 41% of the snaps. He's playing with a ton of energy. He looked good against the run too. I'm hoping to see an uptick in his play or snap count. Because he's electric. He's really fun. He's playing with so much energy. He was fired up. I loved it.
I feel like the first couple of games, they just really didn't let him, like, let loose and rush the passer. They're also, like, kind of, like, standing up and dropping him a little bit more, and they just had to let him go.
Oh, I'm glad. Because this game was borderline unwatchable because both offensive lines are horrible. And both quarterbacks can't move. So I was really glad to have him at least. Javon Holland had a nice pass breakup, but he didn't play very many snaps, which was weird. And Jalen Waddle had three catches all in the first quarter. And he looked great. And like, I don't think he got another target. It was a weird game. I already said my miss was Joe Tryon-Shoyinka. Who you got?
I have Spencer Brown, who got the start at right tackle for the Buffalo Bills. I had him 113 on my board. I checked it. He went 93rd. He looked good, man. I don't know if you saw the highlight, but Allen had a really nice throw where he made a couple guys miss, got outside the pocket, hit Diggs deep. There was pressure from those two guys, obviously, but it didn't come from Brown's side. It was a rollout to the right side, and Brown just drove his guy right into the sideline. And it was awesome. I thought he looked like solid in pass pro. I don't think I really saw him lose a rep. Used his size and athletic ability really well. His feet looked quick, choppy. Like, he just used them really nice. Flashed some nice pop in his hands. I'm not sure if he was as good in the run, but solid and had some impressive reps where he was just driving guys. Some nice work, like just flipping his hips and sealing holes. A couple areas where he can improve. Kind of like the same thing coming out of school. His anchor a little bit. It didn't get him into trouble this week, But I just think he can do better sinking the hips. He was on skates once, but it wasn't a big deal, and he kind of just like a delayed anchor. And I think opposite of Miners, better awareness. Keeping his head on a swivel. He's kind of just like locking down into a double team, and then delayed pressure was coming. And then actually in the fourth quarter, they kicked him to left tackle. Not many snaps. It was already 33-0. But other friend of the show, Tommy Doyle, got in at right tackle. So that was really cool. So that was a good game from him. And he's also fun on the field. He's like signaling first downs. He seems like a fun dude. And all that being said, it was the Texans. Not a big test. So I don't want to anoint that the Bills have found their long-term right tackle. But he looked really good.
All right, moving on to needs to step it up. Oh, by the way, Northern Iowa's left tackle better than Spencer Brown, so just so everyone knows.
Penning.
Yes. Needs to step it up. I put a couple guys. I'll go quick. Tyson Campbell. Part of that is they trade C.J. Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear the thing that, like, Urban Meyer and C.J., like, C.J. Henderson and Urban Meyer didn't get along, and Urban Meyer, like, made him ride on a bike in front of the team and then, like, talk to his parents? What? It all just sounded weird. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's college all over again. Anyway, Tyson Campbell. He played 100% of the snaps against the Bengals. And just to pull a positive out of it, he was playing really physical.
Yeah, I told you that, right? He's kind of fun.
Yeah. But he struggled to locate and find the ball in phase a couple times against Jamar Chase and got beat a handful of times deep. So he needs to step it up because they need him to step it up because he is now their top dog. Eric Stokes, who had a pick and a handful of tackles and a pass breakup against the Steelers. Eric Stokes didn't play a bad game, but Jair Alexander got hurt.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of depth at corner. I know Packers fans wanted Stephon Gilmore. Well, he's going to Carolina. But Stokes got lucky a couple times with how horrible Roethlisberger that offensive line is. Because Deontay Johnson and the crew of misfit toys at wide receiver, Ray McLeod, James Washington, they beat Eric Stokes a couple times, but just because of other reasons, there were not completions. The interception was a gimme, but yeah, he had some up and down play. Same game, Presley Harvin just once again, like shanking punts, just horrible at punting.
That's the only rookie you really want to talk about, right? Because it hurts you the most.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't want to talk about him. Until he's, like, he's my favorite, and he sucks.
So with Jair Alexander, if he has surgery, I believe he's done for the year, so they're debating that right now. I feel like the situation early in the season has been good for Stokes because he's, like, got in the couple of interceptions that have been kind of easy and, you know, late in games when the game's already over. And it's, like, kind of just, like, boosted his confidence in having Jair on the other side. You feel so much better. But now I agree with you. Getting thrown in, CB1, it's going to be a big test. It's going to be a big test. Speaking of, a guy that has been tested plenty, because I don't think he's missed a snap for the Saints, Paulson Adebo, we're back to a poor performance from him. He's been so up and down. This was a big down.
So he's got, what, two good games, two bad games?
Yeah, he alternates. It's kind of cool. it felt like every big play for the Giants kind of just came against Adebo, and it was the main one was getting beat on the John Ross touchdown where he just toasted him. And yeah, Ross is fast, but Adebo's familiar with that Pac-12 speed, so he's got to know it's coming, got to do a better job. And I don't know, just soft. And I think he got worked for like 118 yards on seven catches or something, according to Piff. So yeah, not a good game, and they lost. They need him. And I mean, It's almost like not needs to step up. It just needs to be consistent.
Not ready to play. One's James Hudson, who came in for injured Jedrick Wills. Played 21 snaps against the Vikings. Had a false start and just didn't look very good at all. He looked overwhelmed. I think that's the way to describe his performance. Was not sustaining blocks in the run game. And was not using his hands very well in pass protection. He wasn't, like, murdered or anything. He just didn't look like he should be out there yet.
Speaking of former Michigan offensive linemen, am I not ready to play is Jalen Mayfield, who I think I talked about week one.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I thought this week, like, he's extreme. Like, it might be better because he's really inconsistent. Because we saw some, I thought I saw some flashes from him. He had a couple pancakes. I thought that was really cool. It finished the dudes into the dirt. On the Cordell Patterson's long touchdown catch, the first of three, the second of three, actually, but he pulled on the, like, kind of like a naked protection that the teams do where the backside guard pulls and picks up the play side or the backside end. Sorry, I should say the play side guard pulls to pick up the backside ends. And it was one-on-one with Chase Young, and he did a really nice job on him, but also just like fucking messy hand placement. Messy feet disaster at times, not sustaining blocks. Had a holding penalty that brought back a big play. Gave up a sack on like a Montez Sweat stunt. One rep, Tim Settle just pushed him right back into the running back on an outside zone for a TFL. So just snap to snap, there was glimpses, but really up and a little bit up and really down.
I've only had a Falcons game once, I think, but he did not look over, like,
no.
He just looks sloppy all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Best day three rookie. I threw three down, but the one I think was the best was Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah. Who,
he finally kind of got the target load you suspected he would get given the wide receiver situation in Detroit. He saw eight targets, had six grabs for 70 yards. He's just such a smooth operator. Like, he was playing, he was moving around a little bit, playing some Z, playing some slot. Just, he's not a twitchy athlete, but he sets himself up well. He sets his routes up well. He creates separation through, like, he just, his feet are really clean,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And he kind of, he just attacks the football more violently than anything else the Detroit Lions have. I think he's going to continue to see a good target share. This was the most snaps he played all season. He played 72% of the snaps in this game. He was the best part about that Lions offense.
It's good to hear.
Two more quick ones. Nate Hobbs played a lot for the Raiders. He didn't look terrible.
Nope.
Getting thrown in there against the Chargers. I mean, he's already better than Damon Arnett. I mean,
Arnett was really bad.
Both Big Ten guys, though. And Michael Carter for the Jets, not the running back, but the DB.
Yeah.
He's playing some nickel against the Titans. He looked pretty good.
He's been like I haven't put him anywhere, obviously, but like he's been like okay, like not bad at all. Like
yeah, he played a lot too. Like he played 75% of the snaps. Yeah. And he's played over 50% of the snaps in every game. And he's playing a lot of nickel for them. He's interesting.
I mentioned a bunch of day three rookies that were great already, but one that I haven't mentioned yet that was really good. Kenneth Gainwell, who maybe stealing some of the job from Miles Sanders. Three carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. So that's doing damage. But really, he was catching the ball like we thought he would coming out of Memphis. Six catches, 58 yards. Kind of started on a 4th-and-2. They hit him on a drag. They were, like, lining him out wide. Hit a drag, 12-yard gain. Right the next play, hit him on a screen. Hurts was kind of just, you know, dumping it off to him. And he was doing a lot. That's nearly 100 yards, like 90 yards almost, total yardage. I think you're going to see him gain more and more usage for the Eagles' backfield.
I love to hear it. That's a nice little hit for more you than me.
I think I had him 84th, and I had Ramondre 85, actually. I was looking at my big board today.
I didn't have any undrafted rookie who really stood out.
Oh, hold on. One big one, baby. Forrest Merrill on Monday night, who got elevated last second. I didn't even realize he was giving a look on the rosters. Flashed a little bit. Had a couple nice run stops. I think he only got credited for one tackle. But maybe just like he chopped the running back's legs down on another one and someone else cleaned it up. Out of nowhere, late elevation. I think you got to give him some credit there.
I mean, the pride of the Fun Belt.
Exactly.
One of the best nose tackles that's ever come through Arkansas State.
Absolutely correct.
I'll quickly add some rookies who flashed. Josh Myers looked really good against the Steelers. They're without Tyson Alualu, but still he dominated the point. Rondale Moore, not a big game, but it was fun. They were moving him around. He played some running back. He had a carry, nice. 23 catches, 28 yards, 2 carries, 9 yards. I just liked seeing them use him more in different roles, and it was awesome. Jamar Chase, who had 6 for 77 against the Jags, and that's like normally a big game, but he's been so good that that's a quieter game for him. I thought Asante Samuel Jr. once again was just really consistent and awesome against the Raiders.
He was. No, totally. Speaking of being consistently awesome, I'll give you three guys, all defensive dudes. One obvious, we mention him every week, Odafe Owe, another really good game. Sack, a couple quarterback hits. Just kind of beat Bobby Massey with an easy swat. Sack Teddy on the first drive, third down. He had a big hit on Teddy Bridgewater on another third down, where it kind of looked like he was spying, over the A-gap. And once Teddy just stepped up, he just exploded through him and forced an inaccurate pass. And then he did that same spying thing again, which I thought was kind of weird, because it's not like Teddy Bridgewater is a threat to run or anything. But hey, they kicked the Broncos' ass, so I can't get far about shit. And then, this time it was Locke. Locke broke the pocket, and he just closed the space so quickly. Locke actually ended up breaking the sack, but he completed the pass, but the Broncos were holding on the play, so it came back. But just he covered 15 yards in half a second or something. It was just flashing that 4.4 flat speed. It was really impressive. He's a really good player. Quickly, I mentioned Boogie Basham earlier. He got a sack, 28 snaps, the most he's played. Like I said, it was kind of just a bad play by Davis Mills, but Boogie just keeping the motor on. Titus Howard just worked him, got home there. And lastly, Pete Warner, who played the most he's played, 10 tackles for the Saints, looked really good. Looked really, really good. And just solid coming down against the run, making plays. It didn't look like they took him out for most third downs, but I think he looked good. And sorry, quickly. Micah Parsons is really good. What else is new? And Oza Odigizua, 5 pressures, 3 quarterback hits against the Panthers. Shit. Yeah. Both were really good. That's impressive, though, Oza. Yeah. I just mentioned him last week, so I didn't really want to talk about him.
Out of nowhere, Rook. You actually, I mentioned him, I think you mentioned him 2 weeks ago, maybe. Marco Wilson had another really solid game for the for the Cardinals. He had a sweet interception that got called back. But he held his own against a really good Rams receiving core. And he's playing a ton for that Cardinals defense. The Cardinals defense feels like it's playing above what it should be.
Yeah.
But him and Byron Murphy have looked like a good corner pairing. He played 94% of the snaps.
Yeah, I think he's been 90-plus every game.
Pretty ridiculous. Which is kind of shocking, but yeah.
Okay, for some reason, the rest of my players are Atlanta Falcons. But we're going to start with Avery Williams, who played a lot, played 50 snaps because of injuries to the secondary. That secondary is a fucking disaster. Mainly was game played at slot. Didn't have a monster game, but looked really solid in coverage. Actually ended up with 7 tackles and a hit on the quarterback. I think kind of the big play. It wasn't a flashy play, but I mean, obviously they lost, but they went, the Washington went for 2 earlier to tie the game. Just 3 minutes left in the fourth or something like that. Just really sticky covered on Robert Seals Jones. And it just led to an incompletion. Good play. Quick hitter. Felipe Franks got in for one play. They gave him a 3-yard carry on his own read. Killed me. So I had to mention him.
Love it. Finally, start the Rook. I'm going with a guy who technically is a starter, but I'm calling for higher usage for Pat Freiermuth, who against the Packers, he played 53% of the snaps, had 1 target, caught it for 11 yards. On the season through 4 games, 11 targets, 9 catches, 93 yards, and a touchdown. Every time they use him, he looks good. They just don't use him in the passing game. They don't look towards him in the passing game. I don't get it because Ben can't push the ball downfield. Why don't they use him like the old Heath Miller? Get him working the middle, sitting down in zones, freaking like hit him on a couple seams, give him a chance. They just don't. We also know what he can do as a yak guy too. Get him the ball in some space. Let's get him incorporated in this offense. Open it up on the outside for the other guys a little bit more. He's also blocking his ass off. Like I like what I've seen each week from him. I just don't really bring him up because he's barely used.
I 100% agree with you. Like, he's looked good when they've gotten him the ball. I mean, I haven't sat down and watched the Steelers game, but or I guess I watched the Packers a little bit, but he's looked good when they got him the ball. And I so much agree. Like, Ben can't push the ball. Just have him sitting in the middle of the field consistently. And, like, Ben's going to hit him because he's there. And, like you said, he can do some damage after the catch. I don't understand why he would only be playing 50% of the snaps. That makes no sense to me. I start the Rook. He played zero defensive snaps, and that makes no sense to me. He's gained no looks. Richie Grant from the Atlanta Falcons, who I mentioned, their secondary is bad. Their safeties are bad. Eric Harris, like, dropped two interceptions, but also that was kind of bad. And then he got banged up, and then TJ Green came in, and he looked even worse. You drafted Richie Grant early. Your team is bad. Your secondary is one of the worst in the – well, I guess the Terrell's okay. But Fabian Moreau is a disaster. Anyways, see what Richie Grant can do. I don't understand why he hasn't seen the field.
I was going to mention how little he has mattered for that bad team a week or two ago, whenever I did the Falcons game.
Yeah, like, it's a bad sign. Yeah, I just want to see him. Yeah. Like, it's a bad sign, but also I don't trust him. I will say, though, he's playing special teams. And DeAndre Carter had a kick return touchdown. He kind of missed the first tackle on that, which you don't love to see. It wasn't an easy play, but he should have made it, and that would have stopped him in his tracks. But, I mean, 10 other guys missed him too, so.
Well, here's to hoping one of the Steelers rookies is good, but to this point, I don't know, and I don't care anymore, I guess. I'm a Bears fan if Justin Fields is good.